Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we have several reviews. We look at a few of our favorite actors and their hidden film gems. And then, in honor of Valentine's Day, we ship our favorite characters. It's the show of love. Let's get on with love.
That was so lame.
You know, this is why you're alone. My name is Aaron Peterson, and joining me today are my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey guys, I have a little bit of a sunburn today. The weather's so nice.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, well, we had no ice storms today, but all of last week were pretty horrendous, so thank you. It was basically Alive. You ever see the movie Alive? That's what it was here in Chicago area. That's the movie where they eat people.
It's beautiful and sunny here.
That's good. Shut the hell up. Man of Sync?
Hello, hello.
Hey.
Why?
It's cold. It's so cold.
It is. My fingers are a little chilly right now.
I'm trying to understand why we started naming winter storms.
Well, we name hurricanes and tornadoes, don't we?
That's not the same thing. I feel like we're just bored. So it's a lot more entertaining for newscasters if they have a name for it. Oh, Hurricane Hank is coming through.
Well, they got to keep track of them because we had like
Winter
three.
Storm Bob is coming through. What?
They never name him Bob.
They can name him all kinds of things.
They can, but that's lame. They're not going to name him Bob.
Also, these winter storms that have been happening are very closely related to what a hurricane is. So they might as well just go ahead and name it. That's not where they draw the line for me, is when California started naming their fires.
Those are significant, dude. Like, that's powerful.
Yeah, but how do you know which fire is which?
Yeah.
Tony had more control over, like, Josephine.
Oh, my God. All right, we need to move on to movie and TV because I don't even understand what's going on right now. Before we get into everything, I do have to say, because the man deserves to be defended in the world.
Oh, boy, is this Liam Neeson?
No. Liam, stop just talking and everybody stop defending him because that's not helping. It's just throwing alcohol. Speaking of fires, my God, they should call it fire. They should call that fire Liam. So me and a buddy just we drove all the way to Detroit, which if you live in the Chicago area, it's like 5.5 hours. It's a long way to go to see a concert. We went to see Adam Sandler, right? And you've seen the 100% Fresh special on Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
John,
no, I haven't.
Well, you should because it might make you happy and God knows you need it.
So I don't want it.
We go and we watch this show and you might say, is it worth the drive? It absolutely was. He is 100% a great entertainer who doesn't get nearly enough respect. And he also, I have to say, might be one of the most genuine guys I've ever seen, or seemingly genuine guys I've ever seen in Hollywood. He seems like he genuinely cares about people and his friends. Rob Schneider opened for him.
Oh my God.
Which I am stunned with. He's actually a really good stand-up comic.
Really?
Yeah. He did a whole.
Oh no, he's great stand-up. I've seen him live before. He's great.
He did a whole bunch of racist stuff. And I'm like, he's really funny. And it didn't make the audience go, oh no. It was actually really well done. It was interesting. And some of his other friends popped up. It was just really, I just have a newer respect for the guy. Seeing actually going to his show. He has his friends that come in. To me, a guy in his position that is still friends with the guys he's been friends with for 20 years. And he hasn't, like, the fact that he's still hanging out with Rob Schneider says enough about the guys, what I'm saying.
Are you saying that they're in two different levels?
No, Rob Schneider has got some really bad press over the years.
And he's never been, I don't, being Rob Schneider.
All I know, you can do it.
He started with that. That was probably the low point.
I think it's kind of amazing.
But like, no, his entire career, him, David Spade, the cross-eyed guy, whatever his name is, all those guys only have careers because of Adam Sandler. Yeah? And he keeps them working and producing their movies. And they'd still open his show. I just have more respect for the guy. I just wanted to shout out to Adam Sandler.
Super funny.
We also had a long debate about The Finding Neverland, I think is the name of it, the Michael Jackson documentary that's coming on HBO, and how the song Beat It has a whole new meaning now. But that's beside the point.
Oh my God.
Let's move on. We finally got a look at the Shaft and Child's Play trailers, and it looks like three generations of Shaft, and one of them might be Urkel. And also, Chucky has lasers for eyes. Okay, John, Man and I have kind of talked a lot. So you tell us, either one of these, do you have an opinion or anything on what you've seen so far from Shaft or Child's Play?
From Shaft, I am actually really excited to see what they're going to probably give us. I like this idea of watching the baby Shaft grow into a like man Shaft.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I'm 12. All right.
But I like this idea that we're getting from them on Shaft. It just looks, it looks charming. It looks great because they have to do something to kind of poke jokes at the idea of what that whole story is about. So I like it, and I like the entryway we're going to get for it. None of that was a double entendre.
All of that was probably a double entendre. Do you feel like it's too funny? Either one of you feel like it's too funny?
You mean like there's too much Shaft for us to handle?
Okay.
As the movie tagline goes.
Yeah, there's a, that's an interesting tagline. Yeah, no, that they're just being too jokey.
Probably like, no, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it appealed to me. I'm about it.
Like the idea of where Shaft came from, it's nice to see it come from being blaxploitation movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as well as being serious, it's also goes back to those roots and brings comedy with it. So it kind of pokes fun at itself as well.
And his son is basically, I think, an MIT grad who's a total nerd, and he's Samuel L. Jackson's trying to make him smooth. So that should be a fun transition, I would think. Hopefully by the end, he'll be a cool cat.
Well, Regina King plays his mom, too. That's got to be great.
Mm-hmm.
He is kind of bred from, like, gods at this point. This child is kind of already cool.
Yeah, not in the trailer, he's not. But hopefully he'll get there.
What's, you know what? Nerds can be cool.
Yeah, they can, but they're not. And he's not. Not they're not, because I'm a nerd. He's not. He's very... Maybe he will be by the end of the movie. I feel like it's a transition.
He just needs to get some confidence and security.
I want to point out, this is the same. My fingers are crossed. I love Shaft.
Damn, I'm betting you.
I hate saying that out loud. But I do. I love the Shaft series. There's a way to say it. And Jesse Usher is playing young Shaft. He was also the Will Smith's kid in Independence Day Resurgence. Which was not a good
role. That whole movie just sucked.
But he was definitely not. Will Smith, I was hoping he could at least bring it to some charisma, because Will Smith's character is very charismatic. He's missing that. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We've got a lot to look forward to. Now, when it comes to Child's Play, we've got a whole different Chucky, because the new version of the killer doll isn't going to be possessed by a serial killer. He is a defective buddy doll whose programming code was hacked so that he has no limitations to learning and also violence. So he's the Terminator doll.
Oh, that's the story.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was keeping myself in the dark on that one. Now that you tell me that story is, I don't like it.
I'm bored with that statement. Yeah.
It's weird.
It's not Child's Play.
No, it's not.
I saw this movie and it was better with Arnold.
People are pissed about it, too.
Are they
like
really?
Like previous castings. You mean
on the
castings.
Internet? So there's six people?
No, previous casting.
Oh, Jennifer Tilly was mad.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
What did she say? I didn't.
I don't remember verbatim, but basically, like, this is not Chucky. So
he has laser eyes. He scans him in the beginning. I'm like, why are you scanning anything? You're Chucky. You're supposed to fool him into thinking it's a cool doll. Immediately, I'd be terrified. Why did my doll just scan me? I'm not a barcode.
And I'm not saying that I'm opposed to this concept, because AI is definitely creepy in some respect, but I don't think that you should take it from that franchise and try to roll with it when you're not, like, now you're just using brand recognition.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, you're not keeping the story at all similar. I mean, other than the fact that it's a doll, but it's also, like, now it's an AI doll. Like, that's a very different type of story.
Like, this would be exactly if they took Friday the 13th, and instead of Jason Voorhees being Jason Voorhees, he's a defective, like, groundskeeper robot. Oh, shit, that's a good story.
No, not for Friday the 13th, it's not, though.
No.
But for Johnny's, like, new series.
You know what it is? You know what? Here's a comparison. To me, it's very much like Friday the 13th 5. Where it's a story I can get behind, but it shouldn't be part of the Friday the 13th franchise.
That's kind of like what I said. So.
Yeah, I was agreeing with you. You're right. Anyway, all right.
It's kind of like Halloween 2 or 3 with, where they did the whole three masks and it was had nothing to do with Michael Myers.
I like that.
So what we're saying is that this is a trend happy in horror.
Halloween, 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 happy, happy Halloween.
You're going to get Shamrock sued for that.
Probably. All right. Moving on. The Avatar sequel. This is real quick. The Avatar sequels begin filming their live action moments this March in New Zealand. I just want to know, does anybody still want these movies at all?
I don't want to say that nobody wants these movies, but what I will say is that the majority of the people who may want these movies don't live in the United States.
Where do they live?
Like everywhere else, because in the United States, like here in the US, I think we're kind of tired of having this Avatar conversation. Sure, there's probably fans of the series who live here, but whenever this comes up, if you look at a lot of the comments, it's more like people are rolling their eyes at the whole concept by now.
Yeah, I would concur with that. It's visually, movies that are visual splendor are going to sell better overseas, I believe, than they will here, especially a tired sequel. And I really believe people are going to look at this as a tired sequel, even though it's the first one, technically. We're just kind of over Avatar, the majority of the people I know. I don't know anybody
that
really
was over it when it first came out in the theaters. Like the whole concept was fine. It was cool. But I thought How to Train Your Dragon did a lot of the splendor and visuals so much better.
I mean, I don't know about that. And I know James Cameron definitely wants this. So there's at least one person on board, plus his team. But
the people that want those checks.
Yeah, right. But like, don't you think that you maybe should have done this? What, that movie came out like 10 years ago, 15?
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a minute.
If it would have been like within the first 3 to 5 years, I would have said, okay, it's a little delayed, but maybe. But we're like, you have a whole new generation who doesn't even know about this, and you're going to try to make a franchise with it. And to me, it just seems ridiculous. And the story was not compelling to me the first time I saw the first Avatar. The visuals definitely sold me. That was great. It was very pretty. Michelle Rodriguez as a voice is the only reason I watched that movie. So, I mean, it's not like this is the best thing that's come out of James Cameron's work, and it's honestly, it was more disappointing than any of his other things.
I mean, it made, I think, $2 billion worldwide. I never, ever, ever bet against James Cameron, ever. I just don't, because, I mean, even Alita Battle Angel, we'll mention that a little later in the show, but there's already people calling that a huge disaster, huge catastrophe. It's going to lose $200 million, even though it hasn't opened yet, because they're forecasting it to open low for the weekend box office or whatever. I will never bet against James Cameron.
I'm going.
Yeah, I will never bet against James Cameron. He just, every time we bet against it, Titanic's going to be the biggest flop ever. Yeah, well, you got that wrong. Avatar's never going to be
huge. He got two VHS tapes. How many movies did that?
Two of the biggest movies of all time are James Cameron's movies, and they're both movies that people said would flop. Mm. So I'm going to hold off on this.
Yeah, playing devil's advocate to the idea is 10 years later, he probably developed an idea where he used the first movie as primarily only a roadmap and then developed something completely different or just found a way to further that story. So I'm sure that the story we're going to get will probably be serviceable, or at least a lot more serviceable than the first movie. But if you look at like the idea of he did it as a sketch, so the first movie is kind of like his first rendering of what he wanted to do. And when he saw that there was a market for it, then he says, okay, well, I really have a great story to go with this. Let's develop that story now.
Yeah, and I have no doubt the technology is going to be amazing. And speaking of stretching a story, all right, so we're gonna segue to this, okay? Warner's has hired newbie scribes Noah Gardner and Aidan Fitzgerald to pen a horror-tinged script centered on the Trench, the deadly amphibious creatures that are seen attacking Aquaman and Mira and Aquaman. The Trench creatures, for people that don't know, which is probably mostly everybody, they're pretty new arrivals to Aquaman lore. They were introduced in 2011 when DC did a revamp of the entire publishing line. They're revealed to be part of the Kingdom of Atlantis, but when it sunk, inhabitants who were cut off from other survivors, they evolved into these ravenous monsters. And it's one of the coolest scenes in the movie, I would say. But having a whole movie on it, I don't know. But I like the idea. It's going to be a more modestly budgeted movie. It's going to be another one of these one-offs that DC seems to be doing. Amanda, do you like that idea? You love horror.
I don't know that I needed something from the Aquaman movie to spin off to create a horror movie.
Aquaman was a wonderful film.
It was. I liked it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I didn't know if you wanted to just like jump in the octagon or what.
So. No, but this is just not something I would have expected, nor do I think that I necessarily need. But I do like that DC is trying to go in a very different direction, and they are known as being darker. So having something in a horror realm might prove to be interesting, and maybe DC will find that they have a bit of a niche in this area that Marvel certainly can't compete with. So it could be interesting, but it's definitely coming out of left field. Look at that baseball reference. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know where left field is.
That's kind of awesome. I just threw reference out and I'm going to acknowledge it before anyone asks. I don't know what it means.
I don't know either. I totally bought the idea that you thought what baseball was. So I'm in.
Yeah. I think there's a ball somewhere.
What about you, Johnny? You want trench? What's so funny?
Sorry, I became a 12-year-old right there.
What? Is trench dirty? I don't understand why it's funny.
Well, I was still thinking about Shaft for a second there.
Okay. So all right. It all comes back around. I understand.
It all comes back around. So when I first saw this, I thought, hey, this is kind of nuts, but I like this idea. I like what they're going to do. Why not? And then I think that especially something that's going to be scary, more of a horror, and then it comes from a comic book world, but in it's still devoid of that comic book character. That's interesting, right? It's cool to see like this is world building stuff they're doing, and why not?
This makes me so much. I know people are probably hating on it in some way, but I'm starting to love what DC's doing. I'm starting to be 100% on board. Because it is the polar opposite of what everybody says they should do. And they're tired of listening to everybody tell them what they should or shouldn't do. And they're 100% acknowledging, we don't want to be Marvel anymore. We want to do our own thing. We are going to do our own thing. You know what? We're doing well making one-off franchises. Maybe we'll make a Justice League later. I don't know. But right now, we're going to just do what we do. And we're pretty good at doing that. I'm cool with this. I'm getting more excited by the direction by the day.
Stamp of approval.
There you go. Not that anybody needs it, but I do want to kind of run into something else that I saw. Johnny, this will apply to you specifically.
Okay.
Because you love the comics. Amanda, you'll understand it.
Okay.
But this is going to really, really speak to John.
Okay.
Wired ran a story on how the physics of how Superman picks up a building in Justice League are wrong. And I can't even. I can't even. I can't even, somebody, and if you read the article, you know what, we'll link it in the show notes so you can find it. Because why not spread the love of this kind of article when somebody takes right. The time to do math and physics in regards to how Superman picks up a building in a fictional movie? I just can't even. It's fascinating.
So were they just saying that this is not possible, or were they saying like,
he can't carry a building the way that he carries it? I just want to point out, they don't show him picking it up. I don't believe it. They show him just carrying it. How do you know how he picked it up?
Right. If you think about all that weight from the building just in one solid spot, sure, I guess that weight would crumble and the building would fall right around him, because you can't have like that physically in physics. You can't, unless a building is made of some pretty amazing stuff, that one area where it's being held up, it should crumble around him as he's lifting it up. In theory.
In theory, nobody can pick up a goddamn building.
Well, in theory, nobody can fly just by using a force of will. I mean, that should really tell you right there that you need to suspend that disbelief. Never mind the idea that nobody can just create heat beams and there's no possible, like, why would your eyes create heat beams? Sure. Or even, like, maybe cold breath. If you blew cold enough or long enough, I mean, I guess you can freeze something if you were him. Like, none of it really applies, but I don't understand why we have this kind of write-up happening, but nobody's going, you know, the Incredible Hulk, that guy, that's some bullshit.
His whole skin color changes, and he, like quadruples in size.
Or how about how...
How does he keep his pants on?
That is a long-standing debate that makes no sense, because... I'm telling, unless those are some severe stretchy pants, I don't see how it's possible.
I wear stretchy pants. No stretchy pants can withhold you quadrupling in size. You notice, like, when you've had a couple pieces of pizza, too much.
That's more gradual. This is more right on the day. So I don't know about all that. But you notice in Infinity War, you've got Tony Stark and Peter Parker and everybody else are on this foreign planet far, far, far away, and they're breathing all right. No problem.
Nobody writes any think pieces about that bullshit.
I just found this absolutely fascinating. And I'm like, isn't Wired supposed to be a real magazine, a real internet? I mean, it's supposed to be like real, not ridiculous, but this felt ridiculous a little bit.
I mean, I applaud them for doing, if they did work out the mathematics of it.
I don't.
I applaud them for doing that, but who gets paid for that? And also, if
the writer.
If you have a physics degree, why are you writing at Wired?
Times are tough out there. McDonald's isn't hiring right now. I don't know. It's so funny.
What's funny is like this goes along the lines of like people who are in certain fields can't watch certain kinds of movies. Like we're thinking about inviting some friends to go see Hobbs and Shaw when it came out, and the wife said, "Oh yeah, he can't go see that movie. Why not? It's gonna be fun." Yeah, he just rolls his eyes at it. Well, why? I don't understand. It's an action-y fun movie. Yeah, but he's really into cars, and he knows cars can't do any of that.
That dude sucks. I'm sure he's a lovely person.
Nobody's talking about the economic response to them destroying all of these buildings in a city, and somehow they get rebuilt by the next movie within a year.
That's fair.
Or the insurance, like there wouldn't be insurance companies who are going to insure you, knowing that there are superheroes that are destroying everything. We don't care about those things.
I buy all of that more than I buy the rock flexing and the cast popping off. All of that. All of it. All right, guys. Well, remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group, which is The Hollywood Outsider, or on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Now, we've got some little thing we're going to do. You know, we always have a feature, a game every week. This week, it's called Discover an Actor's Gem. What we're going to do is each host takes a favorite actor of theirs and briefly discusses a film of theirs rarely talked about in film circles. So basically, they're going to pick a very obscure and possibly against type role to illustrate a reason why they feel they're a more well-rounded actor than people realize, and kind of why they respect them in that way. Amanda, you want to go first?
I will. Okay, so mine is, shocker, Jake Gyllenhaal. And, well, I've been on a kicker where I've been rewatching his catalog. Okay. So I actually found a movie. I contemplated, do I want to give another obscure movie that shows how talented he is that isn't talked about, like Enemy? Because we typically see him in things like Donnie Darko, Nightcrawler, Prisoners, things like that. But I decided to go with a normal role because Jake Gyllenhaal is known for doing very obscure, kind of psychologically demented and twisted kind of roles. So I went with Love and Other Drugs.
Okay.
Because most people don't really connect him. I mean, he's a lead in it with Anne Hathaway. And his character is quite different than what we're used to seeing him as. He's affectionate. He's caring. He's not all wrapped up in psychosis in some way. Like, this is just a really fun rom-com movie that people could get behind. And I figured it was also appropriate, since this is the week of love, to give you guys this gem. It is one of my favorite romance comedy movies that has ever come out.
I don't think I've ever seen it, I'll be honest.
Really? It's really...
And I'm a big Gyllenhaal.
There's a good story behind it, so it's not just about their relationship. Their relationship is part of that. But he is a regular guy, which to me shows that, okay, he can do more than just be the psychotic guy. He can be more than just the one who's wrapped up like a David Lynch type of character.
Oh, yeah, I saw Brokeback Mountain, man. He moved me.
Yeah.
Seriously, I almost went guy for that. I'm like, Ma, I get it now.
Yeah. Those eyes and that beard, man, what can you do?
I couldn't quit him either.
So that's the one that I chose. I know it's not on any streaming platforms, but you can rent it. And I would say that it's definitely worth the rental.
Okay. Love and Other Drugs. Jake Gyllenhaal. All right, Johnny, what do you got? What movie and what actor?
So for me, my actor is Leonardo DiCaprio. And give you an explanation of why I chose him is that up until this certain movie came out, I was a little over how much everyone was into Leonardo. He's in this movie and that movie, and he's such a dreamy heartthrob. I was a little over it because this is like the 90s, and that's kind of the thing you get over. But then The Beach comes out.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, and that movie, he played something that was completely different than I was expecting. He wasn't necessarily the heartthrob. He wasn't necessarily the good guy. He was more of a good, well-rounded character. He was goofy. He was bad with women. He was not really that charming. But in the end, it became a character where I thought he really was trying for something different as opposed to what he normally plays for. And it really got me on his side from that movie on. I was a Leo fan.
That's a great pick. That is a movie where I was surprised how good he was in it.
Yeah.
You know, that and Django. I'll never forget how impressed I was with him in Django. And that's not just because I'm a Tarantino fan. I remember when he was cast in the role he was cast in, and I was actually, really? Leo? And then he stood up to Sam Jackson and Jamie Foxx, and it's just like, man, that guy's a great actor.
He is super talented.
The Beach is a movie that people should seek out. That's a really good film.
I've never seen it.
One of my top 10 movies, I think, at least on the rotating list of what my top 10 movies are. That belongs somewhere on there.
Really?
Yeah. No, I adore that movie. I try to watch it at least every other year.
That's fascinating, man. That's cool. It's an interesting story. All right. So mine is Dennis Quaid. I love Dennis Quaid. I couldn't go with Kurt Russell because I'll be honest, every one of his movies, everyone knows because he's amazing. Dennis Quaid is an actor. Whenever I tell people I'm a huge Dennis Quaid fan, they all look at me like, why?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they really do. I mean, and people have seen many of his movies, and, you know, he really didn't become popular until late in his career. You know, you might know some of his 80s movies, but he was not popular. None of his movies were hits until, you know, The Rookie really started a resurgence for him. But he did a movie, and the only time I've ever mentioned this movie, I think, is when we first started the podcast, when we used to have the flashbacks as part of the normal podcast. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this movie then, and I know a couple of people, Scott Calgaro, I know, has checked it out just because of that, and he'll be the first to tell you. It's a great movie. Savior is a movie that he did. I think it was 1998. He plays Sky, who's a man whose family is killed in a terrorist bombing. And he's just destroyed. He's absolutely destroyed. So he joins the Foreign Legion, where he ends up trying to save a pregnant woman in Bosnia during the Yugoslav War. And it is 100% a role you would never expect to see Dennis Quaid play. It's nothing like anything he's ever done. He's very much just dead inside. And he slowly becomes the actor or the character that we want him to be. The Dennis Quaid, you know, he's never charming. He's never doing that sly smile. He's never going too far. He's really playing this like close to his heart, close to his vest. And it's a powerful role that very few people have seen in this movie. But I would 100% recommend, if you ever wonder why I love Dennis Quaid, find the movie Savior, and you'll see exactly why I think he's a much more talented actor than he's ever given credit for.
He has a movie that's coming out soon.
Intruder?
Yeah, and he looks kind of creepy. Like, he creeped me out in that. And I didn't really expect that from him, that kind of role.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. He can do crazy. Yeah. I think a lot of people have seen him do crazy. This one is a role I don't think many people have seen Dennis Quaid do.
The story was definitely surprising. I'm like, he's trying to save a pregnant lady in Bosnia? What? Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting how it develops, especially because he's not the guy he is 10 minutes into the movie. Isn't the guy he was when he starts in the movie, and the movie at the end, the guy he is at the end of the movie is not the movie he was 10 minutes in. I mean, it's just like he does a full character arc, and he doesn't really do a lot of that in his films. He's usually just the guy that's charming and cool to watch. Yeah.
That makes me think, well, actually, soon before, like just before he did Savior, he did Switchback, and that sounds like a lot of the same character there.
Similar in many ways. Switchback, I didn't think was as good of a film. You know, it's kind of a thriller. I mean, that one's more of a thriller. This is a much more serious movie. It's very hard to watch in parts, but it's more harrowing. Switchback was a decent thriller. That's the one with
I enjoy.
Danny Glover, right? Danny Glover's in that one.
Yeah. Danny Glover, Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
The grill. Pre-grill.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that. That might be a segment we bring back if you enjoy that. Discover an actor's gem. I kind of think we should do that more often.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Share movies that people might not know, so they got something to look forward to, because you know there's not enough content out there. Speaking of content, our show is independently funded. Therefore, all the expenses are from our own pockets. And Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcasts. On the same token, we don't believe in just asking for handouts, so we do offer bonus content exclusively through Patreon for our supporters. Depending on which tier you select, there's $1, $3, $5, $10, and even $20. At $3, we have a monthly podcast, bonus monthly podcast called Bad Movie Night, where we discuss a movie that critics or others deem a bad movie, but we enjoy. Then at $5, you get, which we just did, Gothica. It should be out.
Yes, we did.
Now. You could sign up right now and you'll have Gothica to listen to.
I'm telling you, that was one of our best episodes, I think.
Okay. Well, you can hear John and Amanda actually fight. That was interesting. They actually fight. Then at $5, you get Bad Movie Night. Plus, there's an exclusive bonus monthly episode where we discuss things we wouldn't normally talk about on the regular show, and we get personal. And as you go up, there are more perks. You can even pick a topic and possibly guest for one. I think next week we're going to have a guest that took advantage of one of those perks. And once you sign up, you get immediate access to everything that's in there for your particular tier. So all you have to do is sign up. If you want to support the show, it's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. And thank you to those that have supported us. Now we go to spoiler-free reviews. We've got, first off, the Lego Movie 2. The second part. Why not just a Lego movie, : the second part? Why do we need the two, first off?
That is an excellent question that I wish was addressed more often.
It's a very important question.
Yes.
I'm asking you. I mean, because you're reviewing it, right? Like, do you know why?
I have zero idea.
All right.
Well, probably because this is not as good. So they were like, we're just not even going to put in the effort for the title either.
Well, it's been 5 years since everything was awesome, and the citizens are facing a huge new threat. Lego Duplo invaders from outer space, wrecking everything faster than they can rebuild. Amanda, is everything still awesome?
Well, the movie starts off where they tell you everything is not awesome, and there's a whole song about it. And really, it doesn't change from there for me. It wasn't the worst movie ever, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly felt like I was watching 3 hours worth of movie, and it was only an hour and 45 minutes.
It drug on.
It was so long that I was like, please, just...
Are you a fan of the first one?
I like... Well, okay, so I can never remember if it's... I think the Batman was a totally separate one.
We had this discussion last week, yes.
Yeah.
Lego Batman movie.
I liked that one a lot. The Lego movie I thought was decent. The songs were a lot better in the first one than this one. I think they were just trying a little too hard. A lot of it was a story that I couldn't care about until the end. And at that, because they tried to do a little twist, which was... It was cool, but like... You have to make me care about the story in the beginning for me to want to sit through the whole movie and figure out what this twist is. So that was a little disappointing. You care about the characters in some respect. Like, you want to see them.
Is Chris Pratt still bringing as a voice actor? Does he still have a little?
Yeah, he is. He is a great voice actor. I will give him that totally. He knows how to, I don't want to say enunciate because that's not the right, but he gives a little oomph where it matters. And you'll find out he's playing two different characters in this movie. And so that's interesting. But again, the story, I'm just not, Tiffany Haddish, not a great voice actor.
Oh, and you love Tiffany Haddish.
I do.
That's too bad.
Her segment, like in the first, I want to say it's like the first 40 minutes or whatever she comes in. I was ready for that to be over.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So does this movie leave you wanting a part three?
Nope.
Okay. So if $10 is full price of admission, what do you give Lego Movie 2, : the second part?
$4.50. And I usually score way high on movies.
Yeah, no, that was a brutal beating that I can't believe I witnessed. We should actually call somebody.
Call the Wambulance.
Wow. Wow. You actually use Wambulance in a sentence. All right. The next one is The Man Who Killed Hitler and the Bigfoot. This sounds fascinating.
It's something. So decades after ending World War II by assassinating Adolf Hitler in an undercover operation, unsung American hero Calvin Barr is called upon the government to hunt down the fabled Bigfoot, the carrier of a deadly plague that could destroy humanity. But it's got Sam Elliott. So, Johnny, it sounds like an incredibly strange plot line. Did it work?
Oh, boy.
No.
So the trailers and that description are not the movie that you get.
What?
Yeah. So you expect you're going to be sitting through some crazy old man action with some butt whooping and some gravelly voice and all that other stuff. And all you really get is gravelly voice and it's kind of a sad story of an old man reflecting on his life and not being too thrilled with it all. It's also a story where he learns how to forgive himself for the things that he's not really proud of. So that part of it, kind of cool. But in general, like the Bigfoot scene, probably about 5 minutes of the most obnoxiously weird fight scene I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
So is that a good review? I mean, it sounds like the movie wasn't what you expected or what that title would allude to. Was that good for you, though? Or you just, this isn't what you wanted and it's a matter of expectations? Or it's just as a whole, the movie wasn't really solid for you?
As a whole, I would say that as a whole, the movie wasn't really solid for me. Even though I was ready for something as nutty as what the title alludes to, I also wanted to just see the story they were telling. And as soon as within the first 5 minutes, you realize that the story they're giving you is not what they sold you. So you have to like release everything right there and then just be like, okay, well, let's see how this goes. So you do go through the periods of his life where he's hunting down Hitler, and it all relates to something he's going through right now. You do watch him run off to go kill Bigfoot, and that relates to nothing. But again, it's weird. It's just a lot of it's weird, but it's more about the man himself than it is about what he's done.
It just, the title screams Bubble Hotep to me, like that kind of movie, but it's not in any way.
Not at all.
Oh, okay. All right. That's different.
Well, this was the writer-director Robert Kraskowski's first time helming a flick. Do you think that he did all right with what he did give you, even though it's not what you thought it was?
I think the thing that really the movie suffered from a lot was pacing, because there's a lot of letting Sam Elliott just do his thing. And that's a bit of a problem, because let's just remember, Sam Elliott was old in Roadhouse.
He's not getting any younger is what you're saying.
No, he's not. So yeah, though he's still pretty cool for an old man, he's just moving slower and slower. So the pacing that they worked with just was painful, really.
Ouch. So if the full price of admission were $10, what would you give it?
$4.
Wow. We are not winning this week with flicks.
Oh, my.
All right. Well,
no.
It's time for Cold Pursuit and Liam Neeson. Am I allowed to say his name out loud? I don't know where we're at currently.
Yeah, I think so.
He's not the other guy that we're not allowed to say his name anymore. Okay. Yeah, so you saw Cold Pursuit there, Aaron. A snowplow driver with a certain set of skills goes out for revenge against these people that killed his son. And this is all based off of a 2014 Norwegian film called In Order of Disappearance. It's directed by Hans Peter Moland and stars Liam Neeson and Laura Dern. So does this come off as an excuse to bank Neeson's identity as the man with a certain set of skills, or is it more of just a nightmare for a publicist?
Well, it's definitely a nightmare for his publicist this time, but here's the cool twist to the movie. He's not the action stud that he's been in all the other movies that he's done in the last few years, where he's just taken, you know, taken on a plane, taken on a commuter train, taken on, you know, it's not that. It's very much this guy is just grieving hard and his son is dead and he just wants to punish the people that are responsible for it. And he's not very great at it in general, but he's good enough. I mean, he does just fine. The tone is very reminiscent to me of Fargo. So if you are a fan of Fargo, I think you're really going to enjoy the movie, because it's very dark and comedic. I mean, I think I talked about this last week, where I was kind of surprised by some of the reviews where they said that this was a comedy. It's very much a comedy. There's a lot of humor. The characters are kind of over the top in many respects. It plays with your expectations in several ways. It doesn't go according to plan, and it especially doesn't end. It brings in additional characters that you don't expect, including a Native American John Larroquette. That's what I want to call him, because he looks just like John Larroquette if he was Native American. And it goes in different directions than I expected. There's a lot of different things that happen, and I was pleasantly surprised with what the movie was, because I expected what you expected, John, which is another Liam Neeson kicking ass, taking names, and everything just works out for him.
All right, so that actually answers my next question, which was I was going to ask you what that if you agreed with the idea that this is more of a satire on the films of its ilk.
I wouldn't call it a satire. It's more of like Fargo. You know, where Fargo was kind of hyper-realized? That's what I consider this. I mean, I consider it very much in the same vein where it's very hyper-realized, hyper-stylized. It's just a little bit over the top, but not too much to where you can't stay invested in it. It's a little ridiculous. I think things come a little too easy for him as a character. I mean, how he just goes from one to the next is the easiest of conveniences and connections. And these dots are connected for him before he even shows up. That part, like that part is a bit ridiculous. And honestly, it kind of hurts the movie a little bit. But the tone is very clever throughout, I thought. Yeah.
All right. So what would you give it as far as the scores go?
I give it $6. I really think it could have been better if they tightened up the plot, because there is, I mean, some things are just so convenient, you just start laughing. It's just like, what? And some of that is intentional, a lot of it is not.
And a little bit of no resolve to things.
I'm okay with no resolution. I don't need resolution.
It's just like, there's no way that that happens.
Well, none of this should ever happen.
Well, no, but I just mean like...
You're kind of like, are you in for the ride? Once you get about 20 minutes in... You have decided if you are in for this ride or you are out.
Well, you were so in for the ride that you went back to see it.
Yeah, the movie actually cut out, and halfway through they lost power, and I had to go back just to see the ending. So, yeah, $6.
You guys mentioned a few words and it triggered this. In my movie, there's actually, and this is a spoiler, so maybe you want to skip a couple seconds if you don't want to catch this. But in my movie, there's a moment when Sam Elliott's walks up on Bigfoot, and Bigfoot dies, seemingly from the fact that he's a carrier of this infection, also because of a bullet wound to his head that made him run for like several miles, that made, you know, whatever. And like Sam Elliott starts to cry. He's like, old man, I will not let them have you. And he tries to set them on fire, and that's when like Bigfoot jumps up and whoops his ass. It's the weirdest, like most weird goddamn weird fight scene. Like the Bigfoot knows Taekwondo and shit.
Now you're winning me over to this thing. You are. That's like really all you need. I'm just picturing Bigfoot with the Karate Kid crane kick.
Yeah, a scene like that nearly happens.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it now. So thank you for selling me on that one. All right, let's go to new releases. February 15th, we've got a few that are coming out. Let's just run through these. One we talked about a little earlier, but yeah, what do we got, John?
All right, so up first we have Alita: Battle Angel, an action-packed story of a young woman's journey to discover the truth of who she is and her fight to change the world. This is directed by Robert Rodriguez, produced by James Cameron, stars Rosa Salazar and Christoph Waltz.
Reviews are very decent for this one. Not at all the fires, the forest fires and garbage fires and dumpster fires that other Robert Rodriguez movies have been the last few years. So I'm excited to see this in 3D.
I don't know if I need to see it in 3D. My depth perception sucks anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I'm excited to see it.
Oh, I'm totally seeing this.
Really? You're pumped up for Alita?
Yeah, there's something about this story and this character that has been intriguing me since I saw the trailer. So I'm definitely invested and interested to see how it plays out.
Okay, and two others that are coming out this week. We have Happy Death Day to You, which is coming out on February 13th. Tree Gelbin, who's Jessica Roth from the first movie, she discovers that dying over and over was surprisingly easier than the dangers that lie ahead. So we've got a sequel there. So it's basically Groundhog Day with death. Round two. And then Isn't It Romantic, which actually looks really interesting. A young woman disenchanted with love mysteriously finds herself trapped inside a romantic comedy, and it stars Rebel Wilson. So that should definitely be worth a trip to the cinema. If you're looking for a date movie, that seems to be the date movie of the weekend.
Well, then we also have Fighting With My Family. A former wrestler and his family make a living performing at small venues around the country while his kids dream of joining World Wrestling Entertainment. There's a couple people that nobody knows, and there's also The Rock, and there's parts that make me think that it might be good, like The Rock making jokes, but I'm not sure if I'm sold on this story. Are you guys interested in that?
I'm ready to rumble!
You've been waiting to do that all this.
I have. Yeah. I really can't wait. I think this looks Very fascinating to me.
Really?
It looks like a family comedy and drama, and it's really about a story about a woman who refuses to quit. I like resilient stories. I'm all over it. I think it looks great. And plus, The Rock is behind it, and the reason why he's doing it is because he very much believes in the actual story. It's based on a real-life story. And, you know, this is similar to his world.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact this goes back to my earlier talking about Adam Sandler. To me, this says that The Rock is a good guy because he could kick wrestling completely to the wind. He doesn't need it anymore. He doesn't need to mention it. He doesn't need to reference it. He doesn't need that. He's already a megastar around the world, but he keeps coming back to the wrestling world because he does love it. He does respect the people in it, and he's willing to put, I mean, I think he helped, I mean, he's a producer on the movie. So he helped finance the movie to get this movie made, to tell this story. That to me says a lot, and that's why I'm going to support it.
Wow.
Yeah, I had thoughts.
He had feelings and thoughts, and yeah, that was good.
All right.
I'm not going to go see it, but that's good.
Johnny, not a wrestling fan?
We broke up a long time ago.
Okay. I don't like wrestling at all, but this looks good. All right. The Breaker Uppers comes out on Netflix. For the right price, BFFs Jen and Mel will ruthlessly end any romance. But when one grows a conscience, it threatens to derail their relationship. This sounds like a movie made for John Davenport. It's about ending love.
Maybe. Yeah.
And it's on
Let's put a fire to that.
And it's on Netflix. And that's all he does anymore is watch Netflix. So there you go.
Well, speaking of Netflix, we also have The Umbrella Academy.
See what I mean?
A disbanded group of superheroes reunite after their adopted father, who trained them to save the world, dies. This is created by Jeremy Slater. Stars a whole bunch of people that you do know, don't know, doesn't matter. It's a series. It looks awesome. And it's when I looked it up, it was a Vertigo comic that they're doing comics from now over at Netflix. And it seems like they're really pushing the envelope of what they're going to carry around. So I'll give it a shot.
I'm in on that one. I need more TV shows because I'm running low, you know?
Right.
I'm still trying to finish The Punisher season one, man.
Season one.
If you're trying to finish it, you should just get rid of it.
No, I like it.
No, no. Punisher, she should finish because I want it renewed.
I really liked the episode I saw in season two. So that's why I'm watching season
one. Because she's going to watch it, it will get renewed.
Yeah, because Netflix listens to me.
You know what? It's attitudes like that that keep things from being renewed. All right? You just get out there and you watch it. And we'll see what happens with that. What's your pick of the week?
I scream from the mountaintops to try to get Sci-Fi to renew Stargate Universe. You know what happened? They still canceled it.
Wasn't it on for like 8 years?
No, it was 2 years. The universe was only on 2 seasons.
Well, I didn't hear you screaming. That's really what the problem was. Okay, so John, what's your pick of the week? Of those, what are you most likely to see?
As much as I want to say Umbrella Academy, this is my pulling an Amanda. I'm going to say Alita Battle Angel.
All right, Amanda, what's your pick of the week?
Oh, Alita. Yeah, I've already got it planned.
Same here. It feels like a movie you have to see in a theater.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
In 3D, because I hear the 3D is great. And it's James Cameron, and when it comes to technical stuff, I mean, I know he's just producing, but trust me, he's got his hands in this pie. All up in Robert Rodriguez's pie.
What kind of pie is it?
Oh, my God. You guys are
apple?
So dirty.
Pumpkin?
Okay.
I didn't mean dirty. I actually meant, like, what kind of dessert are we talking about? Because I'm hungry.
That honey pie.
Honey pie.
Oh, my God.
That's not a real thing.
It
kind of is.
He made it dirty. Okay, let's go right from the outside in topic.
Oh.
We're talking. Did you just. Oh, like it just registered?
Oh, look. The bus just showed up with Amanda on it. It's a little bit short, but hey.
Yeah. Stop licking the window and get outside. All right. From the outside in topic this week, shipping. Shipping. It's initially derived from the word relationship. It's the desire by fans for two or more fictional characters in film, literature, or television to be in a romantic relationship. And I want to give you a little history lesson. The actual term shipping saw its origin around 1995, on the internet, of course, because fans of the TV show The X-Files, one of the greatest television shows of all time, believed that the two main characters, Fox Mulder and Dana Scully, should be or were engaged in a romantic relationship. They called themselves relationshippers at the time. Then R, apostrophe shipper, and finally just shipper, which is interesting because they did end up together and they ended up humping and having a baby and all kinds of other stuff. The oldest uses of the noun ship, according to this definition of the word, and the noun shipper are recorded by the Oxford English Dictionary. They date back to 1996 and a whole bunch of other stuff nobody cares about. I just wanted to kind of go over that because some people have asked, what does that even mean? What does shipping mean? That's what it means. It means when you are a big fan and you want two characters to get together. So what do you guys even think of this concept of shipping, especially with people writing fan fiction about it or even revolting against shows when they don't match up the people they want to see hook up? How do you feel about the shipping?
I am all for shipping. I am all for fanfic. I'm all for people being weird about it. I don't like people revolting against the shows if they don't get their way, just because I think you should trust the vision of the writer that you have helming the project and not get mad at them for it. But I think everybody has a right to want two people to get together and you're rooting for them and you're like, yeah, I want you guys to be in love and have a life together. You'd be so good together. I mean, we have friends like that where we're just like, you two would be a really good couple. I really want you guys to get together.
I don't.
You don't? You don't care about love.
I don't want my friends to get together because then I end up having to hear about their problems.
Or then you have to choose which friend you have to hang out with when everything goes wrong. That's
the worst. If everything goes wrong.
No, when. When.
When. Mm-hmm. It's always when. Ugh,
and especially if one of your friends happens to be a little bit of a player and you know it, but you can't really tell the friends they're going to go on a date with. And then they end up doing exactly what you know they're going
to
do.
I think you need to be a better friend and tell the one who's about to get
played.
And
now you're choosing sides. That's not fair.
You're not choosing
sides. Maybe this is the one opportunity they've got to do the right thing.
No.
Or be the person you know they can be.
Then I'd have a conversation with the other friend and be like, don't be a jerk. Don't play this one. Don't be a player at all. Are you really friends with players?
Not anymore.
I was going to say you're old.
Wow. Wow, that hurts. That really hurts. John, how do you feel about the whole shipping thing?
It's something that really annoys me. And one of the reasons why is because sometimes people carry it to the point when, they're trying to motivate the show. They're trying to influence the show to get what they want out of the story as opposed to receive the story as being told to them. It irks me. One of the reasons why shows get beat up on so much is because, this isn't the story that I wanted to see. And yet the story you got was still pretty good, but you're more upset over it not being what you wanted to see.
I love the idea of shipping.
What?
I do.
I just love that surprise that Amanda just had.
She's like, you support love? You're such a curmudgeon.
You're such a what? What's that?
Curmudgeon.
What's that mean?
Grumpy fella.
Oh, yeah, that's you.
Okay.
Me. Definition of me.
Both of you.
It's really more John than me. I am, I do fan podcasts, right? So I do, shows for The Blacklist and Beyond Westworld. I do stuff.
Plug, plug, plug.
Where I'm talking about one particular show, and that kind of stuff always comes up. Shows that you want people to get together on, right? The reason why I love it is because anytime fans are passionate like that, those usually, typically, and I'm not talking about the angry internet, the majority of those kinds of fan bases are the most passionate and fun to engage with. You see fans that are that engaged that they just have to have two characters get together, and they're writing fan fiction. And I got to say, a lot of fan fiction is really good. If you've ever taken the time to read some of it is actually really, really good. And I've seen stuff that rivals the stuff that's on TV shows. I mean, I've seen some really...
Giggity, giggity.
What's that?
Giggity, giggity.
I've read a lot of high quality fan fiction, and a lot of it stems from them wanting characters to get together or from plot points that they didn't get in the show that they wanted to see happen. And it's fascinating to me. And I saw a lot of it with X-Files, ton of it with Lost. That's another big one where they had a ton of these shipping because everybody wanted certain characters to get together, Jack and Kate or Kate and Sawyer or whoever. And I've always loved it. I love the concept of fans getting that passionate in any way, shape, or form and being that engaged with a TV show. Is it unhealthy? Probably. I mean, it depends on how much time you're devoting to it, but it brings them joy. They feel connected to it. And anytime people feel connected to something, I just find that to be a good thing. Is that so wrong?
No.
No, it's not wrong.
Okay. Have you guys ever had a couple that you hoped would get together and when they did realized it was a bad, bad choice?
The one that comes to mind the most, and it resolved itself and unresolved itself and then resolved itself again, was on Psych when Sean and Juliet finally got together.
Oh, yeah, that came and went definitely in different ways.
I really love the idea that there was always this will they won't they kind of thing going back and forth because those two actors playing off each other was something that was very sweet to watch on on camera, but when they finally did hook up, I was like, I was like watching a time bomb go off, because you knew eventually she would have to figure out what's going on. And then you'd have to like have your heart ripped out of your chest to watch them break up. And that's all, that's everything that happened. Spoilers, everything that happened in the show. It's go watch it. It's still worth it. It's, and actually when I took my break from the show was right then, because I was just like, screw this crap, I can't do it anymore. And I had to force myself to go back finally after a couple of years and finish it up. And I was glad I did to see how it resolved.
I felt the same way. That's the only season that I don't rewatch very much. Like I will, I mean, I've talked about Psych ad nauseum. I rewatched the hell out of that show. And I believe it was season 7 where she, things went south for a little while. And that yeah. was more important to the show than them having fun. And it sucked the life out of several episodes. It really did, for me personally.
Do you guys think that maybe there was contribute because they had a real, didn't they have a real life relationship?
I think they didn't break up until the show was over.
Oh, really?
No, they broke up. They broke up just before the last season. And that whole last season, they were doing some pretty amazing acting.
But I mean, even just having that relationship outside of the show, I think has an effect on the way the show, because sure. then they don't want them to be with other people, because then it's like uncomfortable, I would imagine, even though they're acting.
I mean, you're acting, that's part of your job.
I know, but
don't date somebody and then expect them to not hook up with somebody else later. Because
yeah, they're pretty professional. And actually, there's a different podcast where James O'Day and Dulé Hill were guests on, and they talked a bit about that whole thing where even James Roday was like, the best acting they ever did was they pretended to still be together for that last season just so that the show can finish up.
And they're still friends, which is weird.
Oh, that's good.
Friends. Yeah. What about you, Amanda? Any couples that did get together and you were just heartbroken when it happened?
I shipped for Castle and Beckett on Castle to get together for the longest time. I was rooting for them. I mean, that tension building up was there for that relationship, and it made it interesting.
Yeah, that was another one for me where the show just died after that happened.
Yeah. When it happened, the whole show just took a new direction. The problem is when you have shows where you're like, I want these two main characters who the show is built around to get together. When they do, then the show becomes about their relationship and it doesn't become about what the show was originally about, the stories that made the show interesting. And it's just their relationship. And while I can kind of get behind that because I'm a sucker for things like Grey's Anatomy, which is all about relationships and stories being back of the line of things mm-hmm. that are important for the writers, I just can't do it when there's only two main castings and they get together and the whole show just becomes about their relationship, because everything that I've been wanting to happen has already happened for these two characters and it just ruins it.
Well, and going to Amanda's point, that even comes back to Psych, because whenever they made the relationship about Sean and Julia, it always took me out of the show, because really I'm watching it because of Sean and Gus. They could start humping and I'd be fine with it. But the fact that him and Julia, when it became all about their relationship, which is what happened in that season that John was talking about, it became very frustrating as a fan. But for me personally, going back to Moonlighting is the first example where I was absolutely crushed, which, you know, maybe a lot of people don't even know Moonlighting, but that was the show where I was every Tuesday night, I was in front of my TV. I did not miss it to save my life, because I think David Addison was the wittiest guy in the world. I've stolen so many of his jokes over the years. It's pathetic. And his relationship with Maddie Hayes, who was this uptight, just stick in the mud. I mean, but also charming and had a good heart and everything else. And you just wanted those two characters to get together. And then they did. And everything about the show fell apart. I mean, it just fell apart. It just never got better after that. I mean, it was never the same show. It was such a great will they, won't they until they did. And then you were just like, oh my God, you ruined everything. Everything did become about the relationship, like you were talking about, Amanda. And it became very hard to watch.
What's funny is Castle is in a lot of ways identical to Moonlighting.
Yeah, it is. Very similar.
And they took the same path and to put those two characters together and ruin the show in the same way.
And ironically, the lead actors also hate each other.
Really?
Life. Yeah.
Both in Moonlighting?
Moonlighting, yeah. Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd hated each other.
Oh, wow. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, just very, very sad. Very sad.
And apparently, Nathan Fillion and
Stanley Katic
don't like each other very much.
Nope. Maybe it's all I love. Can't have all I love, man. You just can't.
You need love in doses.
All right, so let's do this. Your top couples that you wish would happen in movies or TV, 5 is the max, and we're going to do this thing where at least 3 of them have to be in the same property, but then you can have it up to 2 that cross the streams, which, you know, one property to another property, if you choose. Or you can just have 5 that, you know, and we'll try to get through them rather quickly. But Amanda, we're going to do them all at your turn. So what are your 5 couples that you want to ship?
Okay.
Most in the world.
So I'm going to start with the Punisher. I am behind Karen and Frank Castle.
Ooh, well, I can take one off my list.
There you go. I like them. I think that they have a good chemistry on screen. Their characters are just, they seem compatible and they care about each other. And every time I see them together, I'm like, why don't you two just get together already? Like, Frank, you don't need to worry about other ladies. Just worry about this lady. And I think, never mind. I'm not going to say that. That's mean.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I would love to see those two get together.
And then a show that is no longer on, Angel and Cordelia.
Yes, they should have. Yes, 100%.
There is no reason why those two made each other better, which I think is what a good relationship should
absolutely
be. Yep. They started off, Cordelia was one of the most wretched people that you could imagine.
But hot.
But very hot.
I forgave her a lot.
And David Boreanaz is Angel. His character with Buffy was so toxic. But then when Cordelia and Angel were around each other, they made each other want to reach a higher level of being a better person. Continuously, they strived for that. They supported each other. They cared about each other. They helped each other. Mm-hmm. God, I think they needed to be together, like in a formal relationship, not just making like weird things happen.
Humping your kid?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that part.
So yeah, that last episode with her was kind of beautiful.
It was. Yeah. I realize her and Joss Whedon had some kind of falling out behind the scenes. I don't know what it was. And that's a big part of it because I don't know what happened. And I'm not going to pretend like I know all of the scuttlebutt. I really feel like that should have been how that was handled. She should have in some way been able to meet up with Angel and have that relationship. Because that show deserved it, and it kind of led to that and never went there. And it should have.
That's probably the only thing I can think of that I would have altered in that show. Mm-hmm. Like, would have taken the script and done differently. Okay, so then I have Game of Thrones. And I have Jaime Lannister and Brienne.
Oof. Okay, because I got a Game of Thrones one too, and I'm glad you didn't take mine.
Well, the one that I always shipped has already happened.
Okay.
So.
Who's that?
I've always liked Jon and Daenerys Targaryen.
Aww.
Yeah. And then they got it. I like was straight up like ready to cheer.
If you're not caught up, really, that's on you. It's been out for 2 years. Come on.
Yeah, seriously. So I really think that the two of them, it would be a weird couple, but I also think that they would be kind of like an awesome power couple. And Jaime needs to get away from Cersei anyway.
He needs an extra hand, too.
Brienne could kill Cersei in honor of, you know, like trying to keep her man, her man. Oh, that would be so cool. I would love that. Then I have Handmaid's Tale. June, who is Offred.
That show needs any kind of hope.
And Nick Blaine, who is like the driver for their household. God, I want them to just be together. I mean, granted, yes, in season one, they like kind of make a baby together. But if they could just be together and have a whole life and we didn't have to worry about her husband, that'd be cool.
All right.
Yep. And then my final one is the one where I'm going to cross series.
Okay.
From White Collar, Sarah Ellis, who is played by Hilary Burton, plays her character.
Oh, I love Hilary Burton. She's a really interesting actress, too. Like, she's really smart. And
She's
fun to – she's very involved. And I mean, I'm just going on a tangent, but she just seems like a really great person.
Yeah. And
– involved in charities and stuff.
I want that character from that show because she was – she worked for the FBI.
Okay.
To cross over with Wesley Cole from Lethal Weapon. And those two get together.
Well, that would be breaking some kind of fourth wall since she was on Lethal Weapon as a different character.
I know.
Okay.
But it would be great.
Okay.
So Sean William Scott's character and Hilary Burton's character from those two shows.
But she would be playing a different character than
she'd be playing a different one than the one she was on Lethal Weapon. And not like we
Who was she in Lethal Weapon?
She was with
Riggs. She was the FBI agent that dated Riggs for a minute in the second season.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah.
But okay.
But I didn't want to use that one because I don't want
she
it to
just
be
just dye her hair and then she's totally different.
I don't want it to be Riggs's right. ex-girlfriend. I want it to be somebody that Riggs was not with, even
Why
though
not? Why not have more references to Riggs? Why not? That would just be great. Fans love that when you bring up the past. All right, John, now you're up. How many do you have? You have all five or
I've got all five. All right. So my first one from Fast and the Furious.
Oh boy.
Hobbs and Roman.
Whoa. Oh.
Roman.
All right.
Yeah. Roman always seems ultra concerned with like how big Hobbs is and how much baby oil he's wearing or all this other stuff. And the two of them like don't like each other in that way where you kind of think they like each other.
Okay.
All right, buddy. That would be some man. That bed would hurt. That bed. the dents in that mattress would just be scary. All right.
All right, and so I pulled something from Marvel on this. So from the corner of Thor, I have Darcy Lewis and Scourge the Executioner. None of them belong where they're at, but yet they both seem to be pretty okay at what they're doing, and they are good for a great laugh. And I just think that they kind of would be kind of adorable with each other.
Which one was Scourge the Executioner? You had to
The Executioner. He was
Was he one of Thor's buddies?
No, it was the one who in Thor Ragnarok, Carl Urban's character.
Okay, I got you. I'm with you now. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, that'd be interesting.
Okay, so from you on Netflix,
okay,
Zach Cherry's Ethan and Catherine Gallagher's Anika. One of them is a vapid internet influencer. The other one is a interesting, weird bookstore clerk. And together, they'd be two sides of the same coin. They have a lot of the same mannerisms, speak in kind of the same ways. And I just think they'd be adorable and teach each other the ways of the world fully instead of just like in their little worlds.
Interesting.
Amanda, you watch you. Is that a good match? I don't really know the characters. I don't watch that show.
I think it would be interesting. I contemplated doing a matchup of you and Ted Bundy.
Wow. All right. Well,
they have something to talk about.
Yeah, it kind of fits. Okay. Well, one of them's dead, so there would be no conversation there.
Right.
Yeah, that would be very weird. And then from Psych, I have Gus and Betsy Brannigan, because why not set Gus up with not only the person who rivals Sean's ability to notice things and be a detective, but she's also a lot more responsible. So it'd be a step up in the right direction for Gus.
Who's Betsy?
That was Mira Sorvino.
Oh, right. The last season, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I would actually be more inclined with Sean and Gus hooking up, because honestly, that feels like a relationship already.
It is.
Yeah.
I don't know how the two of them are ever going to be able to have a successful marriage outside.
I believe they just confirmed they're doing the sequel, by the way. Psych,
what?
Psych the movie.
Yeah, they're doing another one. Yeah.
What?
Rodeo just, he just tweeted a picture of a pineapple and then a picture of a clock, as in pineapple time. True story.
Shh. Don't
wait,
shh that.
It's a podcast. I guess we can't. All right. Was that it? Or did you have more? I don't remember if that's five.
I have one more. All right. My final one from Stranger Things, Eleven and Will Byers. Because, sure, Eleven and Mikey are a cute couple, and he's all sorts of like all over her and up in her business and all that other stuff. But Will Byers has been in the kind of nightmare places that Eleven's only seen when she closes her eyes. So the two of them have a understanding of where they've been, what's going on, and it's like one of those understandings that you can only get by experience. And I think the two of them really have something to share together versus Eleven and Mikey.
Damn, dude.
Interesting.
That's cold ass. That's a dick move.
I liked his reasoning though.
They're friends. Will and Mikey are friends, man.
Bro code.
Are they, though? Are they?
Yeah. I mean, he went and saved his ass in the first season. I would say yes, they're friends. You're breaking friendships up. I don't even like you anymore. That's just not cool.
Hey, it's my list. I could have gone with my PCU answer, but I didn't.
Nobody would understand what it was. All right. So my first one, this one's from a movie.
Oh, saga, good.
Okay. Ray and Finn from the new Star Wars saga.
Yeah.
I really, really want them
also,
to get together.
Also, why were they not together? It's just stupid.
Because they just made up a whole bunch of stuff to be every plot point in The Last Jedi. I'm not knocking it. I enjoyed the movie. But every plot point feels like, let's do the opposite of what audiences expect. Mm. Every right. single plot point. Every single one. That's definitely the one, you know, that's one of them. But I would like, but you said, you don't really want to see them together. You just like them better as friends.
I like them better as friends. And I don't want to see Rey hook up with anyone because she's mine.
Okay, I don't think that's how it works. All right, next up, everybody watch Suits. Have you guys all seen Suits?
Nope.
That's too bad. You're missing out. Although I don't know how it is now because I stopped after a certain point, but I won't say that what that is.
Oh, you can't continue with it, but yeah, I'm missing out.
It was great up and it's still a fun show. I just
go ahead, dig it out of
anyway. Of the Jessica ahead. Pearson and Harvey Specter.
Oh yeah.
They just eye hump each other whenever they're in the same room. They might as well just. I mean, everybody says Harvey and Donna. Yeah, I think Donna should be with me, okay? But Harvey and...
Donna deserves a little nicer, too.
Yeah, I think Harvey and Jessica, they just have the right...
Well, didn't they have some history?
Mm-mm. No, they didn't.
I thought they...
No, they didn't. Oh. No. But okay. Way to do some fan fiction there, Amanda. Way to shake it up a little bit. Now I go to Westworld.
Oh, boy.
And this one, it's for all kinds of reasons that some I'm fine with saying, some I'm not going to talk about. Dolores and Maeve.
Oh, dear God, yes.
That's just my kind of cowboy sandwich. Mm. And I really feel...
I've already watched that, so I'm okay.
You've already watched it.
Probably on Pornhub.
Yeah, it's in my head right now, playing on a loop.
Okay. John's turned his own personal channel to Pornhub. I really feel like the characters could also complement each other as they go for global robot domination or whatever. But also, it's really super sexy. Then I move on to two characters that I've always wanted to get together, and it's because they are the perfect yin and yang. One of them is explosive and volatile. One of them is just super high strung, and I want to see them get together and just blow the world up.
Okay.
Jack Bauer and Chloe O'Brien from 24.
I'm on board.
That's wow. So much angry sex would come out of that relationship. It would be amazing to watch.
He would be yelling at her while the sex was happening. Where are the schematics?
I think that's the best line that he could say in bed, too.
Oh, I could see it.
Where are the schematics?
And then Chloe's just doing that sour lemons face that she does the whole time.
I like that sour lemons face.
I mean, it's kind of cute, but at the same time, you know, her face got stuck that way.
Okay. My last one is a Game of Thrones one.
Oh, good.
I said I had a Game of Thrones one, so I'm not lying to you. Here's the matchup I want, and this is the final season, so there's still a chance, and it kind of almost happened, but it didn't. Tyrion Lannister and Sansa.
Oh.
I love Tyrion Lannister, and I love Sansa, and they both have grown so much. I would love to see them. When they almost got married in the show, I was so excited, and then it didn't. Of course, it's Game of Thrones. Nothing happens the way you want it to happen. People have to have horrible, horrible existences. That's a couple that I've always wanted to get together.
Even though he's like super old compared to her.
I mean, it's
in theory she's old, he's old, but you know, in he's actually probably only 10 or 15 years older than her.
But like in the show, he's
that's
much
okay
older.
In that world though. In that world, that's what you did. You know, you guys, you join houses. Lannister and the Starks finally join houses, and you have the good Lannister, the only good one in my eyes. I don't like Jaime Lannister, and I never will. He's a prick. And Sansa, who has grown so much in that show, she's become my favorite Stark that's left.
Huh. Well, there's not many left, so.
No, I like her more than Arya now, which that took a long time.
I love Arya. There's some fanfic shippings between Arya and, what's his name?
The Hound?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's gross.
That's weird.
Yeah. It's out there.
Is it? Did you read it?
Well, I didn't go into it. There was somebody, I just was looking at different ships because I didn't want to pull one.
Were they surrounded by fire?
No. It was a picture of her on a horse and he was behind her. And I was like, oh, this seems like a sexual.
I don't want to know where that goes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. All right, now
so that exists.
Some listeners also, because we always put, you know, the topic in the Facebook group. So we've got some from listeners, and I'm going to read them off. And you guys just give me a yay or nay or any other just thoughts you want to throw in there if you want, okay?
All right.
Lissa White says, I really wanted Richie and Kate in the From Dusk Till Dawn TV series to get together. I go yay. She didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I'm with that. Jessica Farrell, House and Wilson.
I can get behind that.
No. That's a volatile relationship. That's a volatile friendship. I don't know about, like, you know, a relationship. That would be even worse.
Maybe it's volatile because there's sexual tension.
Totally. They are in for it. They are in for each other. I'm 100% behind that one. I said that every time I watch the show. People were like, Cut, was it Cuddy? Or was that her name? Cuddy?
Cuddy. Yeah,
people would say House and Cuddy. I'm like, no, House and Wilson. Because those two want to go to Pound Town so much. All right, Tori Melching, Woody and Buzz, they are so different but so similar. They're perfect together. I don't know if I want to see toys humping.
No.
Okay, why?
Because they have a beautiful friendship, and I don't think that friendship should be tainted.
Okay. I can buy that.
Okay.
That and two toys shouldn't hump. That's just weird to me.
Well, I mean, there's...
But that's where Tori's mind goes, huh?
What about Mr. and Mrs. Potato? So you're not okay with them humping?
Well, they can change parts, and I think that's cool.
Okay. Here, you take my penis real quick. Put it in my butt.
Jesus. We're going to role play.
Could you imagine if she put his...
Whoa, no, that's enough. That's,
I can't believe you went there. Peter Dennis, he doesn't have any that he's thrown out there, but he has a thought. He says, I don't like it when characters get together on TV shows. It always ruins the show. The best thing about Begin Again and Once is that the main characters don't get together. So I'm down with love. What do you guys think about that? I mean, there's a good point there because you talked about it earlier with Castle. Sometimes you get those characters that get together. I remember I wanted Stabler and Olivia to get together for the longest time. Benson. But I think that would have hurt the show, too.
Yeah, I think that would have hurt the show. Especially, there was a period where Benson had to go and do some FBI stuff. And they hooked him up with it, like, with Wonder Woman's mom as his partner. Mm-hmm. And they hooked up. And they were kind of like, yeah, see, look, this is a bad idea to put in the show. It doesn't work.
Yeah, there's some shows where it just doesn't work. There's some shows where it does. I think it depends on how the writers plan to continue the story after they get together, mm-hmm. where it makes a difference.
Like, there's only been one show that I can think of where I continue watching after the characters got together. Like, I even think of like New Girl, when the characters got together and then they broke up. That's when I kind of drew the line with them, and I couldn't keep watching it. But And I know we have a moratorium on people mentioning it, or certain people mentioning this, but Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where two characters hook up, it actually makes the show cuter.
Yep. And in Parks and Rec, when Leslie and Ben get together.
Also, something where it made the show better when they got together.
So sometimes it does work. It just depends on and what's funny is both of those shows were written by the same people. It depends on how your writers are handling the subject when those two characters get together. Some people want to make it all about their relationship, and then other good writers are able to take that and make it a background element to mm-hmm. make it more funny or something like that, where it's not the whole story isn't now surrounding around their love.
All right. Well, we got two more listener ones. Ed Coletti says, yeah, John, you may want to sit down for this one. Sophia Vergara from Modern Family and Christina Hendricks from Mad Men.
My.
Oh, my.
That I hope they don't come at each other with any volume behind them, because that's going to cause an explosion. Ripple the world.
Wow. It
already has.
An explosion in John's
pants. Yeah, well, okay. Amanda.
Hey.
Talk about love. All right. And lastly, Jennifer Maloney. I've always kind of wished Carol and Daryl would have ended up together, but that doesn't seem to be on the horizon for those two.
Carol and Daryl. Could you imagine? Carol and Daryl. Like, their names rhyme too much. I don't like it.
You're a nerd. That's a relationship that I used to want myself very, very much. But now I'm kind of digging the whole brother sister vibe that they got going on. But if they got together, I would be very happy as a fan.
That was something I liked the idea of, but I liked it better when they were hinting at Daryl and what's her face's little sister.
Beth. Yes. Yeah, that was sweet. That was weird because he's definitely daddy age, but you know, it's kind of like Game of Thrones.
Sometimes you just want to call.
Yeah, but
him
nobody
daddy.
Really knows how old he is.
That's true. If you took a bath, he'd probably be. You look 20. That brings up an interesting point, by the way. Speaking of Walking Dead, we just learned this past week that Michonne is leaving the show now. So basically, the only people left from the original, well, actually, she wasn't part of the original cast, but it's going to be Carol and Daryl. No wonder they got huge deals. They got, Carol got a $20 million, $3 million, three-year deal, and Daryl got like up to $50 million in his deal.
Well, since they're going to be the only ones left, they're probably going to bang it out.
Well, they, you know, those two actors are like, I got nothing left after this. If I gotta make sure I cash in, because after this, what am I gonna be able to do?
They've talked about doing a Boondock Saints 3.
That's not gonna make him any money, I promise you.
No, it's not.
None of those movies made any money.
They might now.
Here's what I like about that story. Nope. Is, well, number one, I think it's great that Michonne, you know, the actress, is actually becoming a movie star because she's doing so well with Marvel and everything else. She's a really good actress. But it's seeing Norman Reedus is a guy that never should have been that successful. In most respects, he's the guy that's playing bit parts and he's playing, you know, he's playing rednecks. He's basically Michael Rooker for the rest of his life. But he found a niche and he worked it and he worked the audiences and he worked the fans and he's going to become a multimillionaire that's still beloved by millions. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, people do adore him.
That's pretty cool.
I wish people would like me just for me being me.
We like you for being you.
Nah, stop lying.
No, I'm not lying.
I would be.
Oh, that's mean.
Just kidding.
Well, I love you, Johnny, and I like you for who you are.
Oh, my God. Just
you're going to pay me?
Pay you.
$20 million to $40 million.
I'm not paying you shit.
Yeah, she doesn't love you.
Well, see, you don't like me that much.
No, I don't like anybody that much. I want someone to like me that much.
Let's move on. We were talking about shipping.
Yep.
And Jen Sansevier says, I always thought Arya and Gendry from Game of Thrones would be a great pairing. I have hope that this last season will give me at least a scene between them. That'd be interesting. So there you go. That's our Valentine's Day. We always do like a little love topic. We did a love topic. The love is out there. It's flowing through your veins. Okay. Now, any recent film or TV recommendations we haven't already talked about? Amanda, you got anything you want to mention before we move on?
No.
One thing I wanted to bring up is after the Super Bowl, I didn't watch the Super Bowl. So during the Super Bowl, on Amazon, I did watch the first episode of Hannah. Did I bring that up already? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That doesn't come out until March, right?
No, it doesn't come out in March, but they opened up the first episode for everyone. And it seems like they're going to go along the same lines of what the movie did, only with a lot more detail. So slower pacing, it gives you a chance to try to like the characters a little bit more. The first episode was good. I'm not sure I'm going to stick with it. I will give it another episode or two when it finally does come out in March, but I did enjoy what I saw.
What is the essential plot for the series going forward? Because the
Saoirse
Ronan in the original movie. So this girl, it doesn't matter who the actress is, but this character is basically being raised to be a hit woman.
She is born of two different spies and in this program where they are raising hit people or hit kids, and her parents come in and kidnap her from the program as an infant. And so in the process of kidnapping her, her father and her end up living in a secluded wooden area with no one around them. And he spends the first 16 years of her life training her to be an assassin, more or less.
Ooh, I like that.
So at 16 years old, she can do things to you that would make a grown man dead.
Probably make any man dead if she did them.
I think it looks really good. I'm excited for it.
Well, he said it seems solid.
Yeah, it seems solid, and it's probably really good use of Joel Kinnaman. They put him through a couple bit of different prostheses, and he's gets to do that brooding, quiet thing that he does so well. And what I thought was really interesting is that they've got him up against his co-star from The Killing, and I thought that was pretty great.
Can't wait to see that. That looks cool. All right, I got nothing. I've watched a lot of Game of Thrones, man. I'm just getting ready for the final season and seeing what happens with that. And I'm going to go watch some old TV shows and see if I want some of these couples we talked about. I want to see if maybe I don't want them to hook up or not.
On a side note, so I'm going to make like a little thing for the Hollywood Outsider where people can pick who they think's going to live or die for the last season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, are you now?
I am. We talked about this.
It doesn't mean I listened to you.
Okay. Well, should I maybe put on there who we think like the couples would be? Should we add a little love section?
No. I don't think we need a love section. All we care about is who's going to sit on that throne.
Yeah. So there will be a thing for people to choose who's going to live or die Who will be alive, who will be dead, and then who will be on the throne.
And our Oscar contest is live right now.
Yeah.
Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. It's there, it's there, it's there. All right, you can comment on this episode in our Facebook group or on Twitter. We're at BuyPopcorn, on our site at thehollywoodoutsider.com, or our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can also subscribe on your favorite podcast app. I just started using Google Podcasts. It actually works really well.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about it is it doesn't automatically download stuff, but that's fine.
Well, you can't push a button, you lazy son of a bitch. It's like one button.
No, I want it to automatically download and tell me it's downloaded something.
But then it's like a fake download for us.
Mine auto-downloads.
Don't you want a genuine? Yeah, maybe you're
doing
it wrong.
I get a notification.
You may get notifications, but it doesn't auto-download.
No.
I think you guys should fight it out in the octagon. I'm big on this octagon thing.
All of a sudden, you just want to see everyone fight.
Dude, it's Valentine's Day time. Yeah.
Right.
That's when you want to see fights. That's what love does to you. It makes you crazy.
You're totally going against what you said earlier.
You know what? I lie. That's also what people do in relationships. You can find John's artwork on Insta and everywhere else at rjohn.draws, Amanda on Smirk, and Veronica's Marshmallows, and me and my other podcast, Smirk, and The Blacklist Exposed, where I don't want to ship any of those people, except maybe Wrestler and Liz.
That would be interesting.
Or Red and Dembe. just to shake it up. All right, guys. Well, remember the next
shake
time.
Shake it up. Shake it up.
Don't. We got to pay a residual every time you sing a song. That's just the rules.
Well, I did it bad enough that nobody's going to charge us for that.
I agree. All right. Remember the next time you head to a theater, buy popcorn. And we'll just reflect on Amanda's sad love life until then.
Just her eating pizza and watching Jake Gyllenhaal movies. Just
wah, wah, wah.
Sitting on her huge bed all by herself.
Sitting in a parking lot. Eating
I'm not
going to
sit
pizza.
In the parking lot. I'm going to get the pizza to
wearing
go.
Wearing the world's largest hoodie.
No, I'll look cute. Don't worry.
Engulfed in the darkness of the hoodie.
With a quart of ice cream sitting right next to her.
Oh
golf,
my gosh, I should get ice cream
right
too.
Afterward. And John and I will be with our wives doing nothing.
So I'm going to be having a more successful evening than you guys.
Is it really? Because we figure we've already won.
You guys got married and you're not even having sex anymore. I at least get pizza and ice cream.
What just
you
happened?
All are making a lot of assumptions.
All right, guys. Have a good week. Take care.
Because it's the week of love.
Oh, boy. Easy killer.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about all the people that don't have dates this week? You don't even have a date. So, I mean, why is it the week of love?
Wrong. I love myself. Guess what I'm doing on Valentine's Day? I'm ordering Illuminati's pizza to go, heart-shaped, and then I'm going to see Alita.
Wait, you're going to eat a heart-shaped pizza by yourself? That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Why?
My heart actually just broke a little bit.
What if you got a date?
I don't have a date, though.
What if you did?
Well, then I guess we can get pizza to go. Like, I've been wanting this pizza to go. So, like, I kind of have my heart set on it.
So, even if somebody asks you out, you got to end up, they have to do what you want?
No, but first of all, how are you going to get reservations to anything last minute?
I just show up, man.
Okay, well.
Look, Chili's is always taking people. Hey, baby. There you go. We're,
what a date. Three for 10.
I'll take you to McDonald's. It's supposed to be about the people you're with, not about the stuff.
I don't know, man. I don't know about that.
I just had this debate with a buddy of mine. I'm like, you know, you're on your first date. I think there should be, you know, on Tinder and all that stuff, there should be a box you check that says you pay for your own damn meal.
I went on a date a couple weeks ago and I paid. Or a week and
for
a half
for yourself
ago.
Or him, too?
For both, yeah.
No, I don't pay for both because now he's a deadbeat.
No. He offered.
Then say thank you. Or no. Split it. Just split it is fine, but like, I don't...
You don't like the idea of one person paying for both?
I don't. No. Mm. I think we're over that.
Are
I
we? Mean,
do well,
we
as a now, culture? Are you still talking to this person that you went on a date with and then you paid for?
Uh-huh.
Have they bought you anything yet?
No.
It sounds like they're cheap sons of bitches. That's what it sounds like. Careful. I already don't like that guy. He's a freeloader.
Why?
Because he's...
That's what women do all the time.
I understand that, but it should be reciprocated at this point. He should buy you a meal then.
Okay.
Yeah, he should have actually stepped up by now and been like, hey, you know, we went on this great date. Was it a great date?
Yeah.
Or, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should have by now. Otherwise, I think it's time to... Definitely don't give him any Illuminati's pizza. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the Illuminati's
I think she's already made
that
decision by saying that she's just going to get it for herself to go so she can eat it in the parking lot of the movie theater.
I'm not eating it in the parking lot. I'm bringing it home, and then I'm going to eat it at home.
That's the saddest way possible.
I'm not like, how are you going to eat a deep dish pizza in your car?
I'm sure that if you really wanted to, you'd figure it out.
Sad feelings. Sad. Num, num, num.